With public approval ratings in the basement, the Congress of the United States is not a place we normally regard as a bastion of calm, disciplined self-reflection. But for Tim Ryan, who represents Ohio's 13th Congressional District, southeast of Cleveland, sitting in meditation is an essential routine for processing the challenges of Washington life.
To me, it came a lot out of my athletic background of I was a quarterback, and the practice of throwing an interception in front of 5,000 fans in high school in Northeast Ohio football and having to let that go and go back on the field. And to me, as I look back on a lot of how I came to my own mindfulness practice years later, that was kind of the beginning of learning how to let stuff go.
Congressman Ryan is a longtime practitioner of mindfulness meditation. He says his daily quiet time provides a tool for clearing the mind, sharpening thoughts, and attaining a measure of tranquility in a hectic modern life. And developing those capacities, says Ryan, offers enormous potential benefit for school children growing up in our fast-forward world.
You notice if you just take a minute and you close your eyes and you shut off all your technology and the TV and the radio and everything else, that your mind will go to a meeting you're going to have or the person that you just met and called by the wrong name and how those weigh on your mind. And so the practice is see that, see those as just thoughts, nothing to get completely caught up in, maybe something to learn from, of course, but then come back to the present moment where life is happening.
And where meditators pay special attention to that basic human activity of breathing, which establishes the rhythm of life. To meditate means to focus, and that can be a singular challenge in a culture overflowing with potential distractions. But learning how to separate the wheat from the chaff, to be emotionally centered, to be mindful, can enhance a person's performance, whether in the role of a legislator or a young student who needs the ability to concentrate on academics.
The practice of sitting on a cushion or doing that every day for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or, you know, people who do it for hours, is to really discipline your mind to be in the present moment and to be able to see those thoughts coming in and out. Biases you may have developed over the years that come to, that contaminate the present moment, really start to see all of that stuff.
I'd like to ask about your goal of broadening the availability of mindfulness education and social and emotional learning in our schools. These are obviously times of tremendous stress on teachers and students related to tight budgets, high-stakes testing, and many other forces that kind of churn up the pressure cooker. Do you think that mindfulness and social and emotional learning training can relieve some of that pressure?
I do, and I'm seeing it. It's not that it can, it is right now. But I'll give you an example. In Warren and Youngstown City Schools in Ohio, in my district, we got $1 million a few years ago to put in social and emotional learning and mindfulness. These are two older, industrial, Midwestern cities. A lot of times it's just they're poor. You know, 80-90% free and reduced lunch, 80-90% of the kids on Medicaid. I was with the principal a few months ago, and she was saying how much she loves the program because she doesn't have kids in her office all day long with discipline matters. So the administrators of the school can actually do their job without being disrupted by kids coming in who have misbehaved because the program teaches kids to identify their own emotional states. They have a peace corner in the classroom. So if you're a kid and after a few months you start to really identify, I'm feeling angry, I'm mad at my mom, I'm mad at my brother, I'm mad at Johnny in the classroom who just pushed me, you go to the peace corner. But you're teaching kids to identify their own emotional states, and then you go to the peace corner and you meditate or you write or you color, you do whatever until that emotion passes. Then you come back to the classroom. So the principal is saying our school's running much more efficiently now because we're not getting disrupted all the time.
So there's actually a reduction in behavioral problems.
Reduction in behavioral problems, no question about it. And they're starting to see the kids' reading scores improve. They're starting to see the improvements in math. There's one study, over 200,000 kids doing just social and emotional learning. This isn't even the mindfulness component. 11 percentile increase in test scores, 10% increase in good behavior, 10% decrease in antisocial behavior, 20% swing in the mood of the school. That closes the achievement gap. I think if you include mindfulness, which it has some mindfulness in it. A mindfulness practice helps cultivate your attention span, instills mental discipline, moves your brain in the direction of more empathy, more better at solving problems, mobilizing your attention span. All of these positive benefits come from the mindfulness practice, and then identifying your own emotions, and then how you connect with other people. This is what underlies or should underlie all of the programs, whether it's bullying, drugs and alcohol, teenage pregnancy. Like, what's underneath all of that? And what's underneath all of that is a kid that's not feeling good about themselves for some reason, not making good decisions, easily influenced by peers. I think the social and emotional learning and the mindfulness practices take us to a deeper level of where the problems really are, and quite frankly, I think Americans are ready for that.